flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Grotes is here. He is here in the building. He wants to talk Bears with us, and it's appreciated.
I always want to talk Bears with you guys, but I was on a Zoom call today.
Are you from The Score?
Yes. Yes, I am.
He is from The Score.
I am from The Score. That was definitely established during the Bears Zoom call today.
Yeah.
And I am Mark Grote, and I am from The Score.
Yeah. What's the name again?
We'll go next to Mark Grote. Are you from The Score?
Mark Grote. Are you from The Score?
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I don't, that's Kellen. God, I love Kellen. He was running. He's a rookie now.
Kellen
but,
Davis?
But not,
the
not
former
Kellen
tight
Davis.
End?
Oh, yeah. Kellen Davis.
He dropped the ball a lot.
Your guy, Lawrence.
Yeah.
Never picked up a tab, though.
That's right. Didn't you? You had like interviews with him once a week.
Yeah. We'd have the Miller Lite top draft. And
I want to say.
He was afraid he'd drop it if he picked it up.
I held a lot of bags. Let's just put it that way. I was left holding a lot of
really?
Bags.
Really?
That ain't right.
Kellen Davis, a tight end for the Chicago Bears in the, what, Jay Cutler era?
Yeah.
Would have been Jay Cutler era. He
looked the part.
He really did look the part.
Never quite got there. Yeah, he did look the part. He was like the, oh, yeah, this guy
right
and
here.
And then, oh, God, this guy. Jesus. But he did catch, now that I think about it, I want to say it was 2012. He did make a 46-yard touchdown play in a playoff win over the Seattle. Am I right, Tanny? Over the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, 2011, but yes.
Okay, which was in the first year of, I believe it was the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, Bill Carroll. Bill Carroll. Why did I say Bill Carroll?
Carol O'Connor. Pete Carroll.
That was his first year. They were 7-9. The Bears beat them in the playoffs.
Oh,
remember
yeah, that's
that?
Right.
Because it was
right.
weird.
Right. You're right.
See
now,
all this stuff?
That was Kellen's best year. He had 5 touchdowns that season and converted 13 first downs.
There you go.
Hey, wow, look at all this.
This has been your Kellen Davis content.
Didn't think we'd go this deep into Kellen Davis, but we did.
He never
I thought
went
it was
deep into his pocket to pay a bill.
You want to whiteboard that a little bit, Lawrence,
he
for
just
the people?
Did. I think he just did. Top draft shows. Lawrence got left holding the bag.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute. But what I'm confused about is those were station-sponsored events. Where was the old company credit card?
No,
that's what Kellen thought.
I mean, it was the nighttime show, so, you know, like.
Oh, I got you. You're lucky you're there, mister.
Yeah. So, you know, not always treated the best.
I understand now.
And then,
I do.
Like, oh, you ordered quite a bit and didn't eat
nothing.
A lot of it. And then you're not taking it home even. And
that's the thing. You're going to order everything. What's going to taste this and taste that? Yeah.
I think it's a game that athletes play. Like, how little can I possibly, while I'm playing, how little can I, I'll take every freebie, every per diem, every meal.
But here's the thing. This lets you know the level of good he was. Because had he been anyone else, no one would have cared. But it's Kellen Davis. Yeah. And so they were like, yeah, you can go run that bill over there.
Well, I always think of the stories, the legendary stories of the old Score golf outings when Donnell Wolford used to leave the pro shop with whatever he felt like.
Really? What? Well, Wolford can't cover anybody, and apparently he steals.
Well, he just thought that the station would get it. And he
That's hilarious.
Ended up being a little bit wrong. But anyway.
That's hilarious. You guys ought to have, since you guys had Charles Tillman on, you ought to have Donnell Wolford on. Because
oh, yeah.
By the way, yeah. Charles. Always pays.
See?
Good for Charles.
Yeah. Tips big, too.
That's how he's going to get into the
big
Hall of
tipper.
Fame. So I have a question right off the bat.
Yes, sir.
All these first-time head coaches out there with former head coaches as their defensive coordinators, like Steve Wilks now with Aaron Glenn, you know, Matt Eberflus now down with Brian Schottenheimer, and here is Dennis Allen with Ben Johnson. And he said something about it today. This was decided upon during the season, right? That Dennis Allen was stapled to Ben Johnson wherever Ben Johnson was going to go.
Right, which is a bit of a conflicting report from what we had received from Ben Johnson when we were all talking to him after the press conference and saying that he had no contact with Dennis Allen. And then Dennis Allen, let me see if I actually wrote it down here. I scratched it down before I came in here. And the quote was from Dennis Allen today, at some point, as it got later in the season, he, Ben Johnson, reached out to me to see if I'd be interested. So it's not anything sinister or anything like that, but it's fun to think about, I think, really from a Bears reporter perspective, and I would think from a Bears fan perspective, how long they've been thinking about conspiring to be with the Bears. Now, that part we don't know. They could be conspiring, those two, to be with any of the openings, that
right.
Ben Johnson just wanted Dennis Allen no matter what, no matter where they ended up. But they end up with the Bears, and I still, from everything I've inferred and the digging that one can do, it's like, it is fair to ask the question, how long has Ben Johnson been desiring this Bears job?
Yeah, that's why we imagined them talking shortly after Eberflus got fired. Like, who knows, when they talk. Look, if I get that job, you coming with me? Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. That's probably it. But as a sidebar to it, like, everything points to Ben Johnson having, and Ben Johnson has said all the right things. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I needed to stay there. He was not right emotionally to leave the Lions after last year, like two seasons ago. So he said all that he wasn't going to go for the Bears gig. But I do wonder if the Bears were always in the back of his head.
Maybe. But I would, like, one of the first questions you ask Ben Johnson in an interview is, who's going to be your defensive coordinator? Who would you like to be your defensive coordinator? Do you have somebody in mind? And you want an answer for that when you're going into the interview. So I get why he had that answer.
So what do we need to know? Who was interesting and why?
Yeah, I'm trying to prioritize things as best I can here, but I want to start with Declan Doyle, who is the new Bears offensive coordinator, the 28-year-old now former Broncos tight ends coach under Sean Payton, plus was an assistant under Sean Payton in New Orleans when Dennis Allen was there as well. So you can see who has propped him up. I think the perfect question to Declan Doyle is the following. What is it that you will do because somebody's already calling the plays? Declan Doyle, what is your job with
First
the Chicago
and foremost,
Bears?
You said table setting role. I think that's a great way to describe it. Ben is going to have less time than he's ever had as a play caller. And so, obviously I think that's kind of a thing that's morphing as we go, we'll kind of figure out what that looks like. But my job is really going to be to organize in detail, the game plan initially, utilizing, our staff. Everybody will have different assignments, kind of how we are going to build this thing with schematically as we attack a defense. But basically I have to do that work that he's not going to have time to do. And he's going to have to be able to trust me that I'm going to be able to give him the correct information that he needs as a decision maker. And then, really throughout the week, streamlining the teaching progression for the players, making sure that everything is built around them. Myself, Ben, and the rest of the staff, we're not going to take a snap this year. We have to make sure that our players understand their toolbox so that they can go out and play fast and play at a high level.
So he comes predetermined to do whatever the hell he's asked to do to sublimate his ego and to set the table for Ben Johnson. And the salad fork, of course, goes on the outside because that's the first course.
Look, this is fine. This is for a 28-year-old, the best first job in the next job in the NFL that you can have. His first coordinator job, he doesn't have to have the pressure of calling plays. He can learn from a guy who's really good at calling plays, and all he has to do is put the cards together, get practice ready, maybe do a little bit of hand-holding with players to get them on the same page, and that's it. If things go wrong, we're not going to blame Declan Doyle. We're going to blame Ben Johnson because he's the head coach and the play caller.
That's correct. And one maybe tricky part for Declan Doyle, again, 28 years old. These players talk this year about wanting accountability, wanting a little harder edge, don't to go so easy on us. How does a 28-year-old from nowhere come to the Bears now on a team that is expected to win and has veterans? How does he get respect from those players in that locker room? Here's Declan.
Yeah, I think knowledge is power, and that is what the guys care about ultimately. Last year was the first time that I've ever actually been older than all the players in my room. And so, I've been coaching, this is going to be my 10th year. But that's really kind of been a part of, my journey to this point. But I think players care about, can you help me first and foremost? Can you put me in a position to be successful to help the organization and my family? And that's earned, you have to put in the work and earn that trust and that confidence. And that's my plan here, hit the ground running and go to work.
Yeah, seems to be a very smart guy. And I think that he's right, that players will respond if they believe that he's smart, knows what he's doing, can help
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it's sort of like Ben Johnson. Like, he had to probably do the same thing with those Detroit players. And I think it was, Spiegel, I think it was you and I, we had Mike Martz on, who basically said the first conversation he had with him about football, he knew. Like, he had him. He had him engaged. He had the respect. And I think that's obviously the same thing that Declan Doyle is going to have to depend on. One more from him. Had to ask him about Caleb Williams, what he thinks, what his perspective has been of QB1 on the Bears.
Obviously, I didn't spend a ton of time. Like, I'm not in the same division. Like, Ben got to see him on crossover film quite a bit. We're pretty early in the process. Obviously, in the draft process, the arm talent is crazy. I mean, it's very, very impressive. He's a very impressive player. I got to watch him a little bit when he was at USC. Didn't get a chance to watch him as much this past year. I've started to dive into him, but I wouldn't say that that's a full evaluation quite yet. I don't think that would be fair. I think the biggest thing is just the talent of the kid, the ability to use his legs. He is a tough kid. You see it on tape. Obviously the communication and all that stuff, but his second act, his ability to evade the pocket, his ability to create, is a special thing, and it's something that I got to see with Bo in Denver last year. You know, that ability to evade and put pressure on the defense and kind of be the eraser of game planning mistakes. I think that's really exciting about him.
If he liked Bo Nix, he's really going to like Caleb Williams.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the raw material.
It's interesting as he's talking about how this is evolving and he's talking about Caleb. I keep thinking about this conversation we had in transition about how many voices are going to be in Caleb's ear, because now you got Press Taylor as the passing game coordinator. You got Declan Doyle as the offensive coordinator. You got JT Barrett as the quarterback's coach. But we all know that the primary relationship and the primary voice we want him to listen to and the Bears want to listen to is Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I think that'll be consolidated to Ben Johnson.
Don't you?
Yeah,
consolidated, yeah. And one other probably, right?
Oh, you mean in terms of like actual constant voices?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Probably quarterback's coach. I would imagine that makes a lot of sense.
I don't know how much Declan Doyle and Caleb are actually, which is crazy to think about. I don't know how much they're actually going to be locked at the hip.
No, that's true, because Declan Doyle is going to have a ton to do, even though he's not doing the biggest, most important thing, which is calling plays. He's going to be doing a ton with all of the players, and it will keep him from giving specialized attention to Caleb, which is probably fine. Again, this all goes back to doing things differently. We have heard through all these regimes, through Matt Nagy and Matt Eberflus, and now on to Ben Johnson, there's been this flow of assistant coaches that we attached to, like from Dave Ragone to John DeFilippo. I'm thinking of past quarterbacks coaches.
Is John DeFilippo? Because that was a wunderkind. That was a young guy that a lot of people thought.
Former Minnesota head coach?
Yeah, they thought that he was going to be like a thing.
Where's Dave Ragone? I think Ragone's in Atlanta, I want to say, with the rest of the ex-Bears.
Yeah, Ragone just got hired somewhere. Yeah, DeFilippo most recently was the coach of the Memphis Showboats of the United Football League.
Oh, man, he's gotten the Memphis Showboat status, eh?
Head coach, though.
Okay.
Head coach there, and then
still
he was
grinding.
He was with the New Orleans Breakers.
Oh, man. Oh, God, you hear those names. It's like,
Dave Ragone is now the quarterback's coach for Sean McVay and the Rams.
Okay.
That'll work.
Well, do you guys remember how obsessed we were with Dave Ragone?
Very much so.
With Mitch Trubisky, and I remember being out in the hallways at Hallis Hall, God, everybody's lining up to talk to Dave Ragone.
Doug Buffon wanted him to be the starter.
Louisville
Italian, that's my guy.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Doug was selling me on that, and I'm not a paisan. You know what I'm saying?
But anyway, yeah, it'll be fascinating. It's a different kind of scenario. Different levels of communication and different voices. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out.
Absolutely, and I do like, hopefully the singular voice is Ben Johnson when it comes right down to it. But I understand what you're saying, that the other voices will be real. Let's get to the defensive side of the ball here, and Dennis Allen, he is the new Bears defensive coordinator, and the first question to him, look at the Bears defense. What do you see, sir?
The answer to the question is, yeah, I took a look a little bit at the pieces on defense. I felt like there were some pieces in place. You know, in particular, I think there's some things that we have to have in the secondary that I like. I think there's some pieces at linebacker that I'm encouraged by. I think there's a couple of spots up front that I feel like we've got some players. So I think the foundation is there defensively. Look, when Ben asked me if I would be interested, there was a couple of places that I felt like had the pieces in place to potentially be a really good football team. And Chicago was obviously one of them. And so I was excited when it came about that this was the job that he really wanted and this was the job that he was able to get. And I was excited when he wanted me to come along with him.
So there he is, locked at the hip with Ben Johnson, no matter where he was going, and then excited that it's Chicago after that. And he says, a couple pieces in the secondary. And you're thinking, that's Jalen and Kyler. A couple pieces at linebacker. It's TJ Edwards and Tremaine yeah. I guess.
Uh-huh. Jack Urlacher. And as Joniak once called him.
And then Jack Lacker.
A couple on the defensive line. That's Big Bill, as Andrew Billings and Montez Sweat, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Jervon Dexter.
Maybe he
Big
loves
Bill.
Him. Maybe he thinks Zach Pickens is going to be a star. Hey,
maybe man. He's been looking at the PFF grades. I remember, tell you that he's as good as Jalen Carter.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. But, you know, I remember Ben Johnson at his press conference singling out Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon.
Everybody's been doing that.
And Andrew Billings.
Mm.
Those are the three defenders that Ben Johnson mentioned.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they came up in conversation with Dennis Allen.
Yep. Big Bill. Look, yep. We got to get through more stuff, but we need to take a break before we do it. Groats has got more sound that you need to hear as a Bears fan. We're going to do that next here on The Score.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them.
Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Mr. Mark Grody from The Score.
Thank you. Hey, Dennis.
Ah, Grody.
Groats is not done with his Bears hitting. Damn it. You better know his name, Alicia Keys.
By the way, Kellen, the gentleman who was running the Zoom operation today, grew up in Kansas City, was, maybe is, big Danny Parkins fan from Kellen was probably just a little... You know, junior high kid listening to Danny.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, yeah. When he was a Kansas City star, working there, doing his thing.
Oh, that is tremendous.
R.I.P. Louis Anderson.
That's the guy. That's him.
Wait.
Wait. It wasn't Louis Anderson.
Is Danny a great big fat person?
All right, let's.
We're in the middle of Dennis Allen.
Yes, we are. We are right. I'm sorry. Right in the middle of Dennis Allen. What the hell?
We have a tremendous treat for the listeners later on before the top of the hour, by the way, because the top of the hour, the host of the solo evening show, Layla Rahimi.
What?
Yeah. I know.
Oh, this is her night.
Captain Rahimi gets to take her boat out onto the ocean tonight by herself.
That's awesome. She told me that last week. That's awesome. Yep. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has in store, what she has
what
for ye
today.
All right.
Come on. You guys are messing up the Dennis Allen.
Sorry, we're in the middle of Dennis Allen, and Dennis doesn't like it. He wants us to get out of the middle of Dennis Allen.
Just thinking of the Bears fan that was in a year-long hibernation. Like, wait, where are we now? Wait, Dennis Allen's the, whatever happened to Allen Williams? Dennis Allen's the new defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
What did happen?
What about the Fluce guy?
Do we even really know what happened with Allen?
I hope he doesn't just inherit the hard drive in the defensive coordinator's room.
It's scrubbed.
Honestly, with the Allen Williams thing, I think we all privately have enough pieces to everybody's got to. There was that too? Okay. Can I borrow that piece from my puzzle? Hmm. I think we probably, if we put it all together.
If we triangulated it, we've
got it. Yes. Yeah. There's some decoding that still needs to be done.
Yeah. The problem is if you put the whole puzzle together, then you get arrested. Pretty sure is how that goes.
Right. That's why we avoid doing that.
So Dennis Allen.
Yeah, Dennis Allen. D.A. What's up, D.A.? Dennis Allen, the other thing that he talked about, which he should be talking about, which was asked of him, and that is the lack of quarterback sacks, Dennis Allen.
You know, Ben in his press conference made a great point that this has become a quarterback-driven league. I mean, that's what this league is. And so I think everything that we do is going to be based on how do we affect the quarterback. And you affect the quarterback through rush and coverage. And that's the pinnacle of what team defense is all about. And so we can be as great as we want to be covering everybody. But if we can't rush the passer, it's not going to matter. And vice versa. If we can get to the passer quickly, but we can't, you know, disrupt routes and be competitive on the line of scrimmage, then we're going to give up completion. So I think those two things have to be able to work together.
I am excited for Dennis Allen to be the defensive coordinator of the Bears. I am looking forward to his style. I am looking forward to the Bears attacking on defense.
That he's always been a blitz heavy guy and a well-designed, creative blitz heavy guy. He has blitzed less in recent couple of years as he's adjusted to some of the ways of the NFL. But it'll be fascinating to watch what he has. We love how excited he is.
And some of these the pieces that he has to play with on this defense, too.
Yep.
You start thinking about him being someone who historically has blitzed more, you start thinking about the different angles from which they'll be blitzing from and who might be available to do it. It gets really exciting.
And they did, to the Bears' credit, or at least early on in the season, they did have some success. Matt Eberflus did, and that was blitzing from linebacker and cornerback spots. But I do expect it to go up a notch in terms of the creativity with Dennis Allen, which will be one of the major talking points just from the top. And Ben Johnson, to all of his coordinators, we're here to be gutsy. We're here to take chances. We're here to be innovative. So, I mean, I think all those things are going to exist right from the top. One more from Dennis Allen. What avenue should the Bears use to get better on defense?
I think we're always looking for talent acquisition, player acquisition, guys that we feel like can come in and fit into our system that can help us grow as a defensive line. But what our job is as coaches, our job is to develop. We're going to take the pieces that we have in place. We're going to add the necessary ingredients that we need to create what we need to be able to do from a defensive standpoint. So I'm excited about working with the guys that we have, and I'm looking forward to working with, you know, Ryan and his staff to see if we can't find some pieces to add to it.
So they have four picks in the top 72 as of right now, 10, 39, 41, and 72. And if Ian Cunningham gets the Jaguars GM job,
that gives them 5 and 96 or something like that.
So that would have, then they'd have five
in the first 100.
Yeah. I even heard it was a little lower than that, but I guess it'd be the bottom of the third round. So you're right. So five in the top 100. That'd be pretty cool. And then you're looking at offensive line for at least a couple up there.
Yeah, that's the question.
Defensive line for at least one up there. An edge. They need an edge. Dude, I know he's not going to be there at 10, but I dream of Abdul Carter from Penn State.
I was trying to keep him quiet because that's the player that I like the most in this year's draft.
Then a playoff game, and everybody knew.
And everyone knew.
Everybody knows. Oh! Yeah, that guy's got Micah Parsons written all over.
Was trying to get that guy
him.
To the Bears, man.
Oh. It'd be a dream. Now, look, if they got five in the top 90, if I told you they had to trade one of those, 10 and 41 to jump up and get Abdul Carter, you consider it?
Ooh.
How special is
well,
he?
Well, that's
pretty damn special.
I'd consider it.
I'd consider it, too.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, like, at what point, because it's the same old thing here with the Bears as we head into this draft, and that is, the offense needs to be fixed. The offense needs to be better. The offensive line, at what point will they and how much resources would they put into the defense if they think it needs fixing? Because if two players are good at every position, the way Dennis Allen was saying, then it's just patchwork.
Robbie Triano chimed in on Twitch and he said, I love this edition of On the Clock.
That's basically what it is.
This is a great edition.
On the Clock is always happening. Yes, we did. I'm glad you brought that up, Tree. On the Clock shall return. I don't have the exact dates in front of me.
Take that, Shane.
I will be performing On the Clock from the Combine.
Shane doesn't have a problem with you, Mark Grody. He's got a problem with the dumbass show name of On the Clock.
Yeah, again. So Grody, you're telling me the show's going to start right after the team before them's done kicking, picking, right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
That's when the Bears are on the clock.
It's going to be a great 7-minute show.
It doesn't matter.
Stupid management.
It's a brand name. Do you understand? It's like the Big Ten. Are you the guy that gets pissed off that there's 18 teams in the Big Ten and get all literal
stupid.
About it?
Yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah, well, it's a brand name, and people know it. People want it. People need it.
Yeah, on the clock, baby.
Sounds like just one guy on Twitch needs and wants it.
That's my guy, the tree.
Well, you guys can do on the clock in your mom's basement all we care.
You just lost a guest spot on the clock, Shane.
Yeah.
I was booking you for the third week. It ain't happening. Nope, it's not happening. Stay off the mic.
All right. All right, your guy is back. Your guy is back. Oh, yeah. Our guy is
after
back.
After that, now I'm doing something nice for Shane here right now.
H-Mac.
That is Richard Hightower. His guy is back, and that's the theme that I took with Richard Hightower, that he's...
You're back.
You're back. Richard?
Well, in this business, you never, ever know. I'm on a one-day contract. That's how I look at everything. And I've been looking at it for that. For what, 19 years now, or what is coming up on, I think. I lose track of it. Maybe 18, 19, 20 years. I'm thinking on a one-day contract because I'm trying to get better every day, and I'm trying to help our players get better every day. So I don't think about where I'm going to be, any of that stuff. I just put my best foot forward, one foot in front of the other, and try to make people around me better. And on top of that, with Ben and it's just magic. We hit it off from the jump when we talked and when he called. And I'm grateful for his transparency. And all I want to do is help Ben Johnson win games. That's all I want to do.
That's HT, ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome. Started as a coaching assistant under Gary Kubiak and the Houston Texans in 2006. And has carved out quite an NFL life as a special teams coach and now coordinator.
He'll never not work. If you're an even decent special teams coordinator,
yeah, you keep going.
You'll find work.
Keith Armstrong stopped when he wanted to.
Yep.
And he's loyal.
In his 60s.
Yes.
He's as loyal as they come. I mean, and obviously if you're a coordinator, you're probably going to be loyal because you were probably hand-selected for the gig. But Richard Hightower, man, he is very respectful of his head coach. He was so respectful of Matt Eberflus through it all. And for one of my, my last remaining nugget, I think I've used them all up now. The fact is that Richard Hightower has, this will be his fourth time working with a first time head coach. Can you guys name the others?
Oh,
Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy.
No, not Matt Nagy.
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. And there's one more.
Mark Trestman.
No, not Trestman.
Thomas Brown.
Very good, Shane.
Oh,
Shane,
wow.
That was good.
Shut up.
Bingo.
That's how you get to guest spot back
did
on the
clock. Shut up.
He did.
No, I'm having trouble with the buttons back here. That keeps happening.
Okay.
That's not true.
These guys in their little booth.
I have something
well,
for you.
They'll get out of it.
I know.
It looks like things have moved forward in the regular studio, and soon they'll be back in it.
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 to score.
Oh, it's so good.
Got Emma's name, right?
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I do.
Check me out on this one. Let me give
we'll
you a little...
We'll come back to you, Chris. Oh. Just a second.
That happened Chris. Live today. Chris Emma, if you don't know who Grandpa is on the Zoom, it's you. He couldn't find the mute button, I think.
There's more. There's something that you guys don't know about it. Right before the Zoom, about 5 minutes before, I get a text from Emma saying, hey.
Hey.
Hey. How do I raise my hand in the Zoom?
Oh, yeah. You got to find the raise
right,
hand.
Right. Which is fine. Like, whatever. He didn't know. And then I didn't get back to him right away, but he said, oh, I found it. We're all good. And then that happened.
Oh.
So it's like.
Grandpa. Last one. We'll go to Chris Emma.
Let's see. Is it working now?
Yeah, we got you, Chris.
I promise I'm louder in person. I'm glad we're working this time.
I thought Emma played pretty cool, though,
he did.
Actually.
He did. And you know what? Memorable. Smart.
Yes.
Smart. And now Dennis Allen's going to be like, oh, sure, Chris Emma, I remember you.
I remember Emma. I remember our first time together, Emma.
That silly, silly little fool, Emma.
I got something for you, Mark, because I don't think you know about this. The Score Big for Your Business contest that the Score is running. There's. And the Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar in Humboldt Park. Say it again.
Bears.
The Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar, here was their winning submission, okay?
Yes, sir.
This was that they submitted. To get right to it, this prize would help my place of work stay in business, and it's really not for me. It's for Tiff and Guy Makely, wife and husband owners of Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar in Humboldt Park. And they write a lovely letter about how it's a true mom and pop shop. And at the end of the letter, The person writing it says, and when I say we, it's really just the atmosphere of kindness that Tiff and Guy have created, and they need something fortunate to fall on their side this time because they're usually giving what little they have anyway. Thank you for running this contest, and thank you for taking my application. Bears.
10 bears.
They wrote that.
Oh my God.
They wrote the word bears.
Wow.
At the end of their submission as a sign off, because that's how you know that they are score people.
That is.
And that is you, Mark Grody.
That's fantastic.
Heritage Thank Restaurant.
You. We'll go next to Scott Bear.
Scott Bear.
Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar in Humboldt Park. If you just go look on their website, it's beautifully decorated. It's a gorgeous place. We are so happy that they are going to be a part of this. This contest is huge. And we're happy for every submission that we got. We're really happy for them. And did we joked about this during the break. I don't know if we told the audience. What's at the bottom of every Chicago Bears statement that they put out?
Every press release they put out, at the very bottom of it, I texted it to Grody the other day. It says, dash, Bears. Dash.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It really is.
Isn't that cool that Heritage, to indicate their scoreness, they signed off with Bears.
Bears.
And that's you, Grody.
I was just thinking of other Bears names like Kyle Bearclaw. Cameron Bearstow.
Right.
I had to text Grody on Saturday because I was at Benny's with the Remy Martin people, and this guy comes up to me. This kid's like, "Hey, check out my shoes." And I said, "Oh, those are nice shoes." And he's like, "I need you to send a picture of this to Grody to find out how many bears I get for this." He was wearing Bears sneakers. He had created his own Bears sneakers. I think I still have the picture.
That's
here they are. Check this out.
Those are indeed Bears sneakers. He made his own, designed his own.
No joke. I've seen George McCaskey walking around in those. So no, seriously. Like that is the Bears
George
brand shoe right there. And I think I gave him. I didn't know all the facts. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, size him up, ask him where he's from. But I gave him 7.5 bears without knowing anything. So I thought that was pretty generous on my part.
Bears. I think so too. I think it's awesome that you did that.
Yeah, 7.5 bears for the kid. You know what I'm saying?
He's walking around with those shoes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's walking around with those shoes. Absolutely. That's 7.5 bears automatically. And maybe if I talk to him, if he ever calls a score or whatever, maybe we up the ante. We'll see.
I think 7.5 is a good place to start.
Okay.
You know, that's a perfect place to start.
I don't want these kids getting cocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to go out and have some of those shoes would be, that's choice.
That is choice. By the way, is that a new hoodie or an old Beastie Boys hoodie
it's,
you have on?
I would say it's a couple of years old.
Okay.
I bought me a hoodie and Dan a t-shirt, a Beastie Boys t-shirt.
Oh, both nice.
Really like the Beastie
Look
Boys.
Look at you, man. Doing but nice things.
I'm more of a team builder.
Yeah,
he's a team builder.
By the way, I didn't intend to say this, but Take the North merchandise is available.
Oh. Is that right?
It is available. You can get a Take the North hoodie. Apparently, I've got a t-shirt coming my way.
Where do you get it?
I would go to takethenorth.com. I think that's where it is.
What about on the clock?
I think you should.
On the clock. Oh, yeah. Shane and I got a little project. We're going to put together those t-shirts. Can you imagine if they were on the clock apparel? Mm. On the clock, bruh.
Sure. It's not takethenorth.com.
Oh, it's not on takethenorth.com.
It might be. It just says this store is unavailable. So you might have the URL, thank God. But the store is not yet active.
I appreciate the effort, Spiegel, on your part to go right to it. And I apologize that I apparently got it incorrect, but it exists. It's real, people. But this is brand new.
We'll go first to Dan Weedier.
Weeder during the that's twice. He texts. That's twice he got it wrong.
Poor Kellen.
Oh man,
he's a nice kid.
He is a good kid. There's no doubt.
Groats, you're the best.
All right, guys. I'll talk. Hey, look. I won't say it, but
coming up next,
the evening host is out in the hallway. Talk to you guys later. Bears. Bye.
That is Mark Grody. When we return, something really, really cool. Layla Rahimi is going to join us for Transition. Why? Because she's got a solo show tonight from 6 until 9. Here on The Score.
Can't wait!
Forget about it, cuh.
Oh, look at that. It's spelled differently, but I see what he's doing there. I see what Chris Tannehill
is
doing.
What's he doing? I don't see what's happening.
It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. And after us, it is Layla Rahimi hosting Evenings. Layla without Bernstein, says a texter. Yes!
So, wow.
I just leaned right into it, Layla. That's kind of how I do it.
You can call me Dan or you can call me Bernsey, but you don't know me like that.
Dan B is actually how the guy texted it.
We do know him like that.
Yeah, that's true. We all do.
I just always say, Dan.
It's a good one.
Where it's about 10 seconds longer than it should be.
Nice to see you.
Hi, guys.
Great job yesterday, by the way, over on CHSN, sitting in for Jason Goff.
Yeah, I've made a good living backing up Chuck Garfine and Jason Goff over the years. Like, those are two of my favorite last names. In for Chuck Garfine, in for Jason Goff.
That's an extra name to just staple to yours. By the way, happy birthday to Chuck Swirsky today.
Yes, happy birthday, Chuck.
What? Well, yeah, you might swerve. You know?
Might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Happy birthday, Mike.
There
will the Indianapolis Colts send him donuts because it's his birthday?
They should. They totally should. So Layla, yeah, you get to do that last night, and now you get to do this tonight. That's pretty cool.
Yes, and I got to see Kristaps Porzingis make shooting threes look like it was the easiest task ever in the NBA.
He's a crazy marvel of a skill set.
That tip dunk was kind of nasty, too.
Okay. As a you guys know, obviously, as a jealous Mavericks fan, as I heard you guys go around the horn when it came to leading scores in the NBA, LaMelo Ball at four is a bit of a spicy detail. So I was thinking to myself, why couldn't this have worked in Dallas? Like, you know, bitterly, resentfully. And it just didn't, because the NBA is about fits. And then you see what happens when he gets on that team in Boston. And three-point shooting, as we know, is contagious. And that was disgustingly good to make eight of them as a seven-footer.
Well, and Kristaps is a third guy or a fourth guy, right?
Yeah,
he's not Tatum. He's not Jalen. And
right.
It's like, it's sort of like the Zach conversation in some ways. Like, I could absolutely, especially now, I can see Zach being the third best player on a title winner.
I can too.
Now, easily.
Yeah, right.
Easily.
And there was a time where I wasn't sure about that even, but now I'm sure about that. I still don't think he's number one or two on a title winner, but I can absolutely see him as the third best guy.
That's why what Callie was saying to us yesterday was fascinating. The idea of, even though Zach has done all the things that you've asked him to do, been a good teammate, been a good citizen. He's played well. He's played within himself. He's shooting three-pointers. The athleticism is back. All of those things that would make him more tradable have seemingly not made him tradable. It's weird.
Because the number is still there, and you got to find a way to squeeze him in. It's interesting. I don't know whether Callie brought it up or I just read it somewhere yesterday about Steve Kerr saying that when Zach was an Olympian, he just got it. He understood what you had to do as an Olympian in terms of the role and just like, I'll do whatever you want me to do, coach, that kind of thing. So then I start to wonder if Steve Kerr and the Warriors find a way.
I actually think it would be an excellent fit.
Could be.
It could. I think Denver is also still a fit. And maybe that's a bit of wish casting on my part because the return, you know, what has been discussed would be, I think, beneficial to the Bulls, but Denver showed you how they can be beaten. If they can be outshot from three, that's what will occur. They need more shot creation. Mm-hmm. I also think, like, when it comes to Zach LaVine, the villain that they've made him out to be is not necessarily the case. Like, if you see him up close, which you guys have, you know, you spend time at the United Center, you see on the court, too, during a game, the off-ball stuff, and it's like, that's not there. I think he just is doing the things he tried to do to figure out what to do next.
I think he tried on being a villain, and it didn't fit. I think that when he got with Clutch and after he got the extension, I think he was like, you know what? This is exactly how I should be acting. As a max player trying to get out of a city, I should be acting like blank. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not who he is, and it looked inauthentic. And everyone's like, what is going on with this guy right now? I think the version that we're seeing right now is authentic, Zach, and I like it. And it is the type of guy, and like Denver and Golden State make all the sense in the world to me because there's an actual clear-cut top dog. these two guys are Hall of Fame players.
Right.
And you know that they're going to be in charge of their team. In Golden State, you also have an enforcer. So if there are any problems, Draymond will help straighten some of that stuff out. Hopefully you won't have to punch anybody.
Yeah, Draymond, that character arc is another discussion, right? Like that. But when it comes to LaVine, we're at a week until the trade deadline, and the Bulls for the last 3 years in a row, as we know, haven't made a move. So the question becomes not only are you going to break convention, it's are you going to get the draft picks that you think are quick enough?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's it. Like, what kind of draft return are we talking about? What years, you know, if there is a draft pick return, if there is a player return, what are the years you're going to get in exchange for some of these people?
I have a prediction for the evening. I think Layla is really going to enjoy the opportunity to do a solo show. I think of like the times that I've gotten to do it, and and even now, like when I get to do Hit and Run after doing a partnered show all week, it's a different animal. Nobody is going to interrupt your train of thought except you, and you'll have plenty of trains of thought that can interrupt them.
I do interrupt my train of thought.
It's okay.
That's okay. That's honest. You have a really unique stream of consciousness, and I think you should just let it fly. It's going to be very interesting.
I have appreciated you guys' support and really tutelage for so many years now, and this is another one of those examples. I don't get here without you. You know, you guys both kind of adopted me early on in the score.
That's the king of the solo show right there.
Yeah, Lawrence, the monthly visitor, and like I joined you on Hit and Run, obviously, when I had more White Sox and Cubs duties, and mm-hmm. I just appreciated that out of the both of you. So, hey, we'll try this thing and have some fun. And Tyler's here with me too, Tyler Buterbaugh, so we're going to have a good time.
Who's on the show?
James Palmer, my friend who used to work at NFL Network, who is at Underdog Fantasy right now, just killing it. He has a podcast too that he's very successful on. He, of course, has extensive experience with the Chiefs and the Eagles, so who better to talk about the Super Bowl with? And then additionally, Nick Kosmider, he covers the Denver Broncos at The Athletic. The Sean Payton coaching tree is really starting to get established, and you're seeing it. So I think that that's something that we should really take a deeper look into. And additionally, with that week we have until the trade deadline, and with the WNBA really heating up, Julia Poe will join us at 8:25 from the Tribune.
Vandersloot is back.
Exactly.
One of the best point guards in basketball is back.
And there's been a lot of movement, so I think that's worth bringing up. But also just what's going to happen with the Bulls, you know, at this trade deadline? Are they really open for shop like they say they are? So we're going to find out. So I think talking to Julia would be great. We all need a palate cleanser after that Celtics game.
Layla, I'm so happy for you. This is going to rock. Score listeners, you're in for a treat.
Layla is coming up. I like conversation.
So there's going to be a lot of phone calls, a lot of great guests, and Layla Rahimi. We salute you, Captain. Go do your thing. For my partner, Matt Spiegel, for Shane and Tanny, thank you so much for the love and support that you show this show. Do us a favor and show the same love and support for Layla Rahimi. She's up next here on The Score.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cheeseburger in paradise. Making the best of every virtue and vice. Worth every damn bit of sacrifice to get a cheeseburger in paradise. To be a cheeseburger in paradise. Cheeseburger in paradise. Medium rare with mustard be nice. Heaven on earth with an onion slice. I'm just a cheeseburger in paradise. I like mine with lettuce and tomato. Heinz 57 and French fried potatoes. Big kosher pickle. And a cold draft beer. Well, good God almighty, which way do I steer? For my cheeseburger in paradise. Making the best of every virtue and vice. Worth every damn bit of sacrifice. To get a cheeseburger in paradise. To be a cheeseburger in paradise. Hey, I'm just a cheeseburger in paradise.